Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And a hearty bon appetito to you.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send stuff. You say, what is stuff? I say, if it is wretched, we want it. That's right, in a non-sinful way, we are coveting when you run across something that is hoo-hoo or ooh. Would you please send it to idea@wretched.org if you prefer to text? Acknowledging Jimmy can't text back because our equipment is from 1912. You can do so at 877-282-2337.
So why did you say bon appetit?
Because
is it lunchtime?
When are you going to learn how thoughtful I am?
You are thoughtful. I told you the other day.
Let me tell you how thoughtful I am. We are thrilled to pieces to be on FM 89.3 Katba. K-A-T. Cat. I just saw a video pop. It was one of those ads that pops up before you watch the video. Do you remember how intrusive and annoying that used to be? Now we've just been beaten to a pulp. Whatever, play your video. I'll hit skip as soon as I possibly can. This was a young lady, looked like a university student because, well, she was a university student. I don't know what the product was, but she said, I love cats. In fact, I study cats. I'm majoring, get ready for this, cats in art. So she studies all of the paintings throughout the centuries that had a cat in them. Now, while I might think it's ridiculous, we all know for certain that her job security is rock solid, isn't it? Because what you can do with a degree about cats in art. Katba, K-A-T-B, thank you very much in Anchorage, Alaska for having us on at lunchtime.
Ah,
see what I'm doing here?
I see being now.
But if you're in Anchorage, we are thrilled to pieces to be coming out of your speaker. Now, send us stuff. Was that a little too aggressive? idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
So I'm going to tell you to speak for yourself on getting accustomed and used to the videos or the pop-ups before the videos. I pay YouTube. I can't do it.
Oh, wow. What does that cost you?
$10 a month.
Wow, you hate ads.
I do.
No, it's $10?
It is. It's actually about $15, but I get a deal through my cell phone company. It's an add-on, so it's only $10 through them.
Well, now it sounds like you're practically making money. Well, they because it's ad revenue. You know, they pay people for the videos. If they can't show the ads, they can't make the money,
right.
They ain't going to lose money.
That's exactly
the YouTube plant.
Yeah.
Wow. Intriguing. It's your cell phone company?
Yeah. But the one that I pay a lot of money to.
Yeah. Like you're getting that for a bargain. That's, you know what we need to, it's the cable thing that is so expensive. And I'm just too dumb to figure out a cheaper method. It drives me bonkers. So well, there's plenty of times where it's like, why are we paying this?
It used to be, when the streaming services first started, it was like, oh, well, we don't watch all this cable stuff. It's kind of a la carte. You know, you get what you watch. Now you're paying just as much doing that as you would be
through cable TV.
Yeah, that's right.
And but is the service as caustic? Because, wow, getting stuff out of our cable provider. 877-282-2337.
This is from Andrea. Todd, how can we aim not to distract others in worship services when we can't read minds of the congregation and actually know what distracts them?
Well, if you're doing anything other than standing there or sitting there, it is a potential distraction, and you should be mindful of it. I think it's, you should worship freely, but I think just be to love your neighbor, read the room. Is this the type of place where they do that? Am I being unusual in anything that my gestures, I'm raising hands, you're amening, whatever it is, none of which I believe is sinful, but if it's causing people to be distracted, well, then you might want to work on it, maybe refrain or explain to people why you do what you do, because you just want to be thoughtful of others. Having said that, without taking a breath, the people who are getting agitated need to work on not being annoyed with you. It's a two-way street in church. This applies to how we worship crying babies. There's another big one. Both parties need to be working toward the other party feeling loved. So if you got a baby who squawks a lot, be loving and deal with the child. If you're in the congregation and there's somebody with a squawking baby, be loving and patient and don't give them the tisk-tisk and the, you know, the look like, when are we going to get to the, you know how, especially the turnaround look. That's a powerful one, isn't it? When you have to like look back, who's got that child? It's a two-way street in the church and the street is called love. Okay, that made me feel kind of creepy. I'll be honest with you. 877-282-2337.
So along the same lines, this is a text from...
Do you ever amen in church?
Do
you have a problem with somebody amens in church?
I do not have a problem.
I don't either.
I actually, when I'm preaching, I prefer it.
Oh, it's great affirmation.
Yeah.
But you know, even something like that, it can be genuine and it can be a show.
Right.
Because I don't know what's going on in their hearts. Okay, I do. But... if somebody amens because it's like, amen, that was good. That's one sort of amen. The other amen is, amen, brother. As if you're maybe trying to get some of the attention. Raising hands. Do you do the hand raising business?
I don't.
You got a problem with people who do?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I think people should be free as long as it's, you know, not driving anybody bonkers. And we both need to bend. Being thoughtful of one another. That is why church is the fertilizer of sanctification, because people are so agitating. And I know that because I know me and I'm super annoying and people have to put up with me. Yikes. They have to love me and vice versa. And together we all become more Christ-like. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is from Ray. He texted in. It's kind of in the same realm. He says, Todd, I'm originally from New York, so cowboy hats weren't a thing. I noticed a few men wear them in my church in Florida. Feels weird to me. I also dislike it when people stand to sing with coffee in one hand. Seems disrespectful.
See, I was able to sound really superior regarding the cowboy hats. Dude, it's, you know, people are going to wear a cowboy hat. No big deal. Coffee? Coffee in the sanctuary? Are you kidding me? Let's take it one at a time, shall we? Should a man wear a hat in the church? What's the custom? I'm wearing a cowboy hat in Florida. Knock yourself out outside of the church. But you've got to ask yourself the question, because I don't think there is a biblical mandate about wearing a hat in the church. Now, culturally, it's shifted, hasn't it? Women used to quite regularly wear hats into church. Men always taking them off. Look, if you want to make a case biblically that a man shouldn't, a woman should, that's fine. If that's the culture of your church, then I will abide by that. If you're a cowboy hat wearer, what is the custom inside of the church? If you don't see another guy doing it, you should probably just take it off. Don't need to be wearing a hat. Why? Because we are considerate of one another. There's a long history about head coverings, and it gets a little tricky, but I think that I would kind of, with this issue, I would land with, what is the church cultural norm? Be considerate of that. As for the coffee, I think that here's a question. To the person who thinks that I'm going to be a legalist, you're going to slap the Pharisee card on me because I don't think coffee has any place in the sanctuary. Let me ask you a question. If I roll Sunday morning, It's about 5 minutes to the service, and I roll in a cotton candy machine, plug it, sit in the place where I can plug it into the wall, and then during the service, I swirl myself some cotton candy, sit there and pick at it. You okay with that? Or might you go, hey, dude, that's distracting, and shouldn't you be focusing on what's happening and what you're participating in? Bingo! With coffee. I know that the cotton candy thing is maybe a little bit more extreme, but it's the same principle. What are we doing in there? Have we forgotten the privilege? Have we forgotten what Jesus has provided for us so that we can sing to God? We get to sing to God. And by the way, we're the only species that does that. We set music to poetry, the highest form of communication there is, with glorious music, hopefully glorious music. That is our privilege. We get to hear the word of God proclaimed from above. We get to hear the word of God read. We get to witness the gospel and baptisms and the Lord's Supper. What are we doing there? It is an honor and a privilege, and it demands and deserves our full attention. And you can't give it that when you're slurping a cup of Java. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who knew I was doing a program with Tevye? This is Wretched Radio. Tradition is a big thing for one handsome Jimmy Hicks. I'm talking about the cowboy hat business.
Well, yeah, just any hat in general in church. I don't have a problem with anybody wearing a hat in the sanctuary, but I am going to look at you a little sideways if you leave it on when we pray.
All right. This will be totally futile, but that's what we specialize in here. Go to the AI machine and ask AI what Old and New Testament verses say that a man should or shouldn't wear a head covering in church or in the temple. And let's just see what the Bible says about head coverings, because
I don't think it's a debated subject.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of just come down on what is the, I'll say, a tradition of the church. You just don't want to be doing things that cause people to be distracted and agitated. We are there to do a lofty work, and I do not want to detract from that for anybody. 877-282-2337. That's the text machine. If you stumble across something wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org. And by the way, if you're yelling right now at your radio about the head coverings or the coffee business, send us a note, please. Jimmy's happy to learn. He doesn't get everything right. So help him. Please help him. Did you find it already? Did he do it?
Yeah. I've got them both.
So fast. All right.
So Exodus 28 and Exodus 39.
That's Old Testament. Doesn't count.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
So... do you want me to read it?
Sure.
These are the garments that they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother.
That's for priestly garb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where it's at.
All right. And then, but, well, we got to understand the context.
Right.
And the context is that was the uniform of the priest.
That's right.
Doesn't necessarily apply to everybody else. You know what else is an interesting history? The history of the yarmulke. I think, because I remember hearing somebody discuss this regarding Ben Shapiro, who regularly wears a yarmulke, that the yarmulke was not something that men wore until like the 3rd or 4th century after Jesus. So that is it. That's a newer trend. All right, what other verses do you have there?
1 Corinthians 11.
Women in hats.
Well,
head coverings.
But it says prior to that, 1 Corinthians 11, 4 through 7, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God.
Oh, am I regretting this? To do this? Because that's such a contested section of Scripture.
It is.
And that's why I prefer reading the Bible and going, that's the deal right there. Mm-hmm. Recognizing how contested those verses are, I'm comfortable. I don't dig it, but I can live with follow the cultural norms of your church, because you just don't want to do things that distract people. All right. So here's your homework. This is going to get a little complicated for you.
Okay.
If you would kindly share with us the next text or email. And whilst I'm yammering away, would you please use the AI machine to ask for the history of yarmulkes?
Okay.
Do you know how to spell yarmulke?
I'm going to sound it out phonetically.
You're not going to get it. All right.
All right. So the next question, this is from Naomi. Todd, I am 13, and I have really been struggling with anxiety and assurance of my personal faith. I'm mostly scared that I was never truly repentant or that it was me tricking myself into believing that I'm saved. The fear has been nagging at me for a very long time, and nothing I've done to try and end it seems to work. I have talked to solid believers, read my Bible, prayed constantly about it, but I'm still terrified. I also wonder if I'm truly saved, because I struggle with keeping my temper and being truthful, among other things.
Yeah. Struggle is a great word in the conversation about assurance, because that is one of the sure signs you actually are saved, because unbelievers, they don't struggle because they don't care. So you care. That is an awesome sign that you actually are saved. Those who are unregenerate do not concern themselves with such matters. The Puritans affirmed this regularly, repeatedly, again and again. That if you care that you might not be saved, that is one of the sure signs you actually are saved. And then they would warn, if you don't care about the status of your soul, be afraid, be very afraid. So I would start with that. But second of all, I would suggest that you, okay, second and third, start listening to preaching that is going to help you with this subject. Go to the YouTube machine and type in this, Milton Vincent, just like it sounds, Milton Vincent. It's spelled just like Yarmulke. You got that sorted yet over there? Well, I didn't have to correct you.
We corrected me. Yarmulke? Sure.
Yeah. Look for Milton Vincent Justification. Milton Vincent Justification. He wrestled with this issue when he was young. And it was when he discovered, like fully opened up the doctrine of justification, that his fears started to abate. They just recede, abate. They went away because he understood that it's not his performance that keeps him in the kingdom. It doesn't get you in, and it lack thereof won't kick you out, nor will great performance keep you in, because the reality is our performance, it's really not so great. But his salvation is. So listen to preaching that talks about the attributes of God's patience, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his forbearance, so that you can recognize that God, he's so slow to anger. He's so patient with us. Consider these words of Jesus. These are some of the most tender words in the Bible. There's two, Matthew chapter 27, 28. The disciples have scattered. They were being a little cowardly. The women were braver, although their threat, in fairness, wasn't as great as the threat for men that they might be executed too, just like their rabbi. So the women are told by the angel, the women are told by Jesus to go to the apostles. In other words, the women were the apostles to the apostles. The instruction was from the angel, tell them to go to Galilee. No, was it Jesus who said, tell them to go to Galilee as promised, either the angel or Jesus. The point is, in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus had told them the night that he instituted the Lord's table, meet me in Galilee after my resurrection. And so imagine you're the disciples. You've been cowardly. You're scattered. And the word comes to you that Jesus said, the plan is still on. Plan is still on. Meet me there. How might you have felt? Oh, okay. All right, he still wants to see us. But maybe your mind might go into darker directions and go, is he going to like really excoriate us for our cowardly behavior? Is he going to undress us for this? Because, wow, we really blew it on this big time. But then Jesus says, tell them, My brothers, those two, my brothers. Oh, how they must have felt when the women said, he told me to tell his brothers. Oh, and I'll bet their minds hearken back to Genesis, with Joseph calling his trembling brothers, my brothers, as words of comfort, as words of kindness. Oh, what a savior to be that good. I mean, he really could have come at him. Hey, fisher boys. You couldn't quite handle the heat, huh? Thanks for sticking around. Okay, didn't do that. Plan on. Tell my brothers. That's your savior. Even when you lose your temper, as you claim that you do, your savior would say, My sister, cast your cares on me. Take it to me. I'll help you. I'll grow you. I understand. I really do. Been there. I was 13. I get it. And I'll help you with it because I'm a kindly savior and I'm a good savior. I'm benevolent, long-suffering, meek. My burden, it's light because I'm gentle. I'm lowly at heart. So you go to that Jesus every time you sin. Every time you sin, you go to that Savior. You cast your cares upon him. You cast your sins on him. And you have his promise. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, he will by no means cast you out. Nobody will snatch you from his hands. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Repeat that verse. Memorize that verse. And let it increasingly give you confidence so that you can be a bold witness for the King who is so patient and loving with you. Jimmy,
yes.
What do you got with the history of the Yarmulke?
It's got an R in it. But
Yarmulke.
Yeah. So it appears as originally as pious practice, but then it in the 7th to 11th century, it becomes more normative.
Even later than I thought.
Yeah.
So the head covering that you see guys like Benjamin, that's tradition is what that is. So he is closer to Tevye. We want to honor tradition. So when you go to now let's just say you go to Florida in Paraguay, if there is one, and everybody's wearing a cowboy hat, then you know what I would do? I'd put one on. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Now, the state of California killed 183,720 babies through abortion last year, making the Golden State America's abortion capital. The state doesn't even bother collecting official data anymore. They stopped reporting to the CDC in 1996. And when asked about it, California's Department of Public Health just simply says they do not collect information on pregnancy terminations. Out of sight, out of mind, apparently. Australia's e-safety commissioner, Julie Ingram Grant, is pushing major tech platforms and AI companies toward mandatory age verifications and sweeping online safety requirements that many see as expanded government control over digital speech. Her office has warned Meta, TikTok, Snapchat, X, and YouTube that they'll soon fall under regulations barring Australians under 16 from social media. She's also targeting AI chatbot developers with legal notices demanding they explain how they're protecting minors from harmful content. The Department of Homeland Security just introduced regulations that will photograph and biometrically track every non-citizen entering or leaving America. Starting December 26th, Customs and Border Protection can take photos at airports, land crossings, seaports, or any other point of departure they designate. Delaware, Sussex County Democratic Party Chair Jeff Balk has resigned after people discovered he spent 7 years in a Missouri prison in the late 80s for paying young boys for sex. Balk initially refused to step down despite calls from Delaware's Democratic Party Chair, and his local coalition stood behind him until National Democrats, including transgender representatives, finally demanded his resignation. And in a refreshing break from all of the madness, Queensland's Minister for Women made a statement that once would have been considered obvious, and that is a woman is an adult female human being. The minister, Fiona Simpson, is from Australia's right-wing Liberal National Party. That represents a pretty significant departure from their original gender inclusivity approach. The European Union has accused Meta and TikTok of violating the EU's Digital Services Act, claiming both companies make it too difficult for users to report illegal content and restrict researchers' access to data. The justification centers on removing child abuse and terrorist content, but the DSA scope extends far beyond that. It allows users and trusted flaggers to report anything breaking national laws, including Germany's hate speech legislation that criminalizes ordinary political commentary. And finally, Islam appears to be growing in America while Christianity fades. The number of U.S. mosques increased 31% between 2010 and 2020, while roughly 1,500 Christian churches closed during the same period. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both of those things at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's a shout out that will never be responded to. This is Wretched Radio. We're having a mailbag week. Send whatever you think is wretched. I mean anything. As long as it's not, you know, disgusting. Idea at wretched.org, or you can text whatever you want to 877-282-2337. And maybe in that email or text, You can tell us if you're willing to help us. I'm looking for a volunteer. And I just haven't found the courage to ask anybody that I know to do this because it could be potentially offensive. But if you're not offended by this request and you'd like to help us, send a text, send an email to Jimmy. Here's who we're looking for. You are an elderly Christian woman. What is elderly? I'm thinking 70s, maybe 80s. I know you're out there. Would you be willing to record yourself? You can use your phone and send your reading of contemporary worship songs. You say, why would you want anybody to do that? Here's what I discovered a long time ago. When we read lyrics from contemporary worship, we're so used to them being so dreckish. We kind of just, you know, we know they're not very good. We know that they're repetitious. We know that they're not theologically robust, but we kind of overlook it. But when an elderly woman reads those same lyrics, I mean, just reads them, doesn't sing them, reads them, they sound utterly preposterous. Would you be willing to help us do that? Now, if you would like to know what sort of songs you're singing, now this is what we'll do. Someday, if anybody volunteers for this and is willing to do this, we'll send you the songs, their actual worship songs that we'd like you to record. I'll read it, or Jimmy will read it, and then we'll play you. And I'm telling you, we're all going to go cringe. This is by no means not to make fun of your age. That isn't the emphasis of this. Your age and your maturity reveals how ridiculous and immature these songs are. For instance, ready for this one, Jimmy? You tried to make the AI machine do it.
Oh, it
was a total fail.
Oh, it was.
Here we go. wake up, the time has come. Don't rest, don't wait. It has begun. Ready the weapon of praise. Blood moon, blood red, blood down his robe. Blood of the Lamb is overcome. Ready the weapon of praise. Because I see the heavens. I'm seeing the sevens in the sky. Time of the beast is growing nigh. We're going to make it out alive. I see the heavens, legions of angels in the night. Wipe off the slumber from your eyes. We're going to make it out alive. Ready the weapon of praise. Ready the weapon of praise. Ready the weapon of praise. The serpent's scared. He's seen the grave. No rest in peace, just fire and flames. Yeah. Who rolled the stone? Who holds the throne? Trumpets will sound. The world will know. Ready the weapon of praise. Seven stars. 70 times 70. I'm seeing seven heads, seven scrolls, seven seals, seven bowls, seven stars, 7 times 70. I'm seeing sevens in the sky. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 signs. Heaven rule, heaven reign, heaven soon, heaven stay, heaven fall, heaven come. Heal it all. I'm seeing heaven in the sky. We're going to make it out alive. So rally the angels, ready for war. He's riding a stallion, make way for the Lord. His word is a weapon. His tongue is a sword. The God of the whisper is the God of the roar. Let me try that again. I wasn't sure which way to go with that. Is the God of the roar.
That's it.
There we go. Got it. Now, that was pretty awful to listen to. 75-year-old woman, you're going to go, what in the world are we producing out of Nashville? This is being sung on radio stations? This is being sung in church? I get it. It's kind of about revelation. But how does this exalt Jesus? And what does this even mean? Would you like to volunteer? Oh, Jimmy, get ready for the text to pour in. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is an interesting question.
You want me to do the song again? I can buy you some time to recover.
No, I have a lot of opinions. So, Jim has texted in, can a pastor or elder share with their wives things that are discussed among them, specifically an egregious sin of a member that has not yet been revealed to the congregation. I was told a pastor or elder can share because he and his wife are one flesh.
Oh, that's the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Well, the intonation kind of indicated there was maybe more coming.
Oh, I'm
there.
Sorry.
That's okay. We still believe you're a radio professional. You do the roar thing. See, how would you do the roar?
No.
No. No. Not good. In fact, any elderly woman who heard that call out is like, are you kidding me? Please. I feel undignified just listening to that. Does the pastor get to tell the wife church business? There are different pastors with different rules on this. I know how we do it. It's not always perfect, but basically, if it's sin stuff, if it's counseling stuff, if it's elder business, well, then that is elder business, and I'm going to keep a confidence. And if she understands that. Furthermore, if the pastor dumps everything on the wife, oh, she's going to be hating church so fast. Oh, she's going to be inclined to give the skank eye to that guy. He did what? Because she's in the know. So I believe that a pastor has to hold a lot of these things. Now, it is good if you get together with another brother outside of your church and you can talk about these things. I'll do that with other pastors, with brothers who don't know the person in question. I don't even use their name. Hey, I've got this situation. Bill, unless the guy's name actually is Bill. Bill is this and Sarah said that. So what do you think would be the counsel? That's I think, the place you need to go. Protect your wife from all of the bad news. Protect her from the harsh stuff. Because she's a member. She's not called in ministry. She's your wife. She's a member. She's one of your sheep. So protect her from that stuff. Now, does that mean that there's nothing you can ever discuss? No, there's stuff. Where's the line? Okay, well, here's at least a part of the line. Sin stuff? Got to keep that to yourself, Pastor. Elder decisions, stuff that's coming up that the congregation should be hearing together, should she get a preview? Well, probably not. And so I think staying on the line of safe after a conversation with her, because here's what can happen. The pastor knows something, doesn't share it with the wife. She finds out and says, did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. Well, why didn't you tell? So discuss it in advance. Honey, I'm not going to tell you a bunch of stuff because of the aforementioned explanation. And create your own rules. But I think that you should fall on the side of safety and protecting your wife. Not to mention protecting the confidence of the congregation. I got to tell you, that's very often lacking in the church. And it does so much damage. Where even the pastor is willing to talk about other people and what the First of all, I don't think that it's wise. I don't think it's helpful. It could even border on sinful gossip. Furthermore, it undermines your credibility, Pastor, because if somebody's listening to you trash talk somebody, they're going to go, wonder how he talks about me. And you're going to lose confidence. Jimmy, you said you got lots of opinions.
Well, I've been there. So to answer the question, can a pastor share with their wives confidential things? No, absolutely not. That one flesh union that he mentioned, that's the covenantal union between a man and a wife. It has nothing to do with the pastoral office.
Well, and we're still two individuals.
Right.
Right. So I agree with you. So anything that's a sin issue, confidence issue, discipline issue.
Right.
And I think some elder discussions that involve the church. I think the man just needs to keep that to himself.
Yeah, I think what he would share with his wife would be anything that he would share with any member of the congregation, just general prayer concerns, general struggles, just mutual burden bearing that any member would share with any member of the congregation.
Yeah, I think that's good too.
Yeah.
Did you get that on AI?
No.
all by yourself.
I've been there, man. I know what it's like.
And here's the key to it. I think you would affirm this, that the man has had that conversation with his wife. Mm. Because if you don't do that, dude, you're gonna hit some choppy waters. She should understand that. And if it's presented to her as for your own good, it's not like I'm trying to keep secrets on you, darling. It's that I'm called to be, I'm the confidence man. People expect confidence. Now, if you ask somebody, can I share this with my wife? And they give permission. Should you share it with your wife? I think the rule that I would use to guide my decision would be, will it benefit and grow my wife or will it potentially harm her? This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku. Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Harsh. I'm sorry, are we on? This is Wretched Radio. What were you saying during the break?
Yeah.
This is about pastoral confidence. Does he share with the wife? Did I just say the wife? Ugh. His wife. Shares with the woman, folk. Does he share what he knows about some church business with his wife. And your claim during the break was?
I said that I didn't go as far as initially, as far as I really believe. And I do believe it disqualifies a man that does that. When it's, yeah, it is. It is. And like, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. That's my personal conviction. Mm-hmm. I could be totally biblically wrong on it, but I just think a pastor is called to be above reproach. Titus says that he's to be a trustworthy steward.
But don't you think that his attitude about it matters?
That's why I said I could be wrong.
Well, because, you know, she is a confidant. She is a helper.
Yep.
And hey, sweetheart, I'm working on this issue. But again, I go back to the aforementioned rules. Was it told to you in confidence? You have to keep it in confidence. Yeah,
that's right.
Wife is not the exception. Even if you're one flesh, that it just doesn't allow you to share what somebody said. I expect you to not share this with anybody. And even if you ask for their permission, again, will it be good for her? She's not called to carry those burdens. The pastor is. And if he's dumping a lot of stuff on her, I'll tell you, pastor, it's going to hurt your wife and it's going to hurt your family. It will. Because it's just going to be harder and harder for her to serve joyfully. That's yours to carry.
I guess the way I look at it, like we talked about, the one flesh union, she's the helper. She's the helpmate. But she's not a part of the body of elders.
Right.
And so she's not been trusted with that information. And so I just would find it hard to feel like you.
I'm not sure that would be my first response.
That's just
to the pastor who's doing that. I think talking to the pastor about it to say, hey, pastor, what are your rules regarding confidences and sharing with your wife? Can we talk about those things? I would be there way before disqualification. And it would have, wouldn't it have to be something that that is like we can definitively say that's a sin and he's persisting in unrepentant sin, therefore church discipline and disqualification from eldership.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can I just thank you right now?
For what?
Making me look so nice. 877-282-2337.
I said I could be wrong. It's a personal conviction. I'm not going to holler at another man.
I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I really do.
I wouldn't go.
Not that big of a deal.
I wouldn't go to another pastor that has done it or is doing it consistently and tell him, hey, you're disqualified from ministry. When I say it's a personal conviction, I feel like it would disqualify me from ministry. That's the way I feel. So I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want you to violate your conscience.
Right.
But
right.
Simultaneously, I might spend some time with you going, well, then I'll tell you what, why don't we just work on what this should look like? Let's try to figure. Because we don't have specific detailed rules about this in the Bible.
True.
So we need to use the totality of Scripture, come up with some principles and apply them. And some of them that I think we've already discussed are biblical, they are helpful. And honestly, it'll take care of over, I'm just guessing, 90% of the stuff where you just don't have to debate it. Could there ever be a time when the pastor, okay, all right, how's about this one, Jimmy? There's not as much money in the bank account as there should be to make things smooth at the church. Mm-hmm. All right, now that's kind of elder stuff, but ultimately the congregation can and should know that stuff. Can the pastor ever say to the wife, honey, I'm feeling the pressure of the finances at the church. Can I just share something, talk some things through with you? You okay with that?
Yeah, I am. Like I said before, I think anything that he would say to any other member of the congregation is fine.
Okay.
But it's the confidential stuff that he's told in confidence that I just don't think he should share.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just don't think I'd fire the guy over
it. I didn't say I'd fire him.
Yes, you did.
I said
yes, you did.
It's my conviction.
Do you have an opinion? We'd love to hear it. Seriously, we'd love to hear it. Send it to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
And be as mean as you want in the text because I can't text back.
That's true. That's
true. All right. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, what are your thoughts on those who pray and use the words claim and declare in Jesus' name? I don't like it. It scares me, but I want to know if there's any scripture that backs it up.
This is another one of those instances where it's like, okay, that isn't like entirely wrong, Those words, though, have contemporary baggage connected to them. And those terms come from the name it and claim it, the prosperity folks, that you declare it, you say it. It's word faith business. You say it, God's going to do it. You declare it, it's going to happen. That's just so unbiblical. Now, having said that, can we pray the promises of God? And I think the answer is respectfully, yeah. Yeah, you can. Lord, your word says this. I'm in this situation. Would you please deliver on that promise to me? Okay, that's claiming a promise, if you will, without using the word claim, because it's just too packed with prosperity problems. But I do believe that we can use God's promises to remind him of his promises, not that he's forgotten, but to say, Lord, I sure would love it. Your word says this about my subject. Would you please do that? Would you do that now? Would you please heal this person? Whatever your request is, because of your character, because of your nature. And so I bring this to you confidently, trusting you to do what is best. I'll submit to whatever your sovereign will determines. But I sure would like it if you would do that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The name it, what was the other one? The claim it and
declare.
Declare it. Declare. Yeah, that's all word faith business.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use those words.
It kind of gives the implication. I've always thought that our words have authority. Like,
oh, it certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if somehow we stating or claiming it. Ooh. Imagine one of your children. Hey, Dad, I'm claiming my inheritance. Pony it up. Be like, whoa, boy. Hold on, son. 877-282-2337.
Taking extra vacations this year. This is from Mary.
What?
If my kid said I'm claiming my inheritance, I'm going to start taking some extra vacations.
Well, I do not get the connection.
So they wouldn't have the money for the inheritance. I'm going to start spending
it. You love your children.
That's right, I do.
I got it.
This is from Mary. Todd, what current Bible translations would you recommend staying away from?
Let me send the message that your passion for the Bible is a good one. That you should want it to be an accurate one. There is a wide scope, wide range of Bibles. On the one side, you've got literal. It's what you would call a formal equivalent. It's trying to be as literally wood for wood, which is, right, it can be a little wooden, word for word as you want. Those are the ones that we should be really digging into when we want to be accurate and understand what the original author intended. Now, anytime you move from that, now over on that side, by the way, I would put NASB, I would put ESV, I would put, I think even close to that, the Revised Standard Version. Mm-hmm. Did I mention NKJV? I would put those. They're striving to make sure that they don't add anything or interpret anything.
The LSB?
Oh, sure. The LSB mm-hmm. would also be one.
Yeah.
Now, you move from there and you start on the other side, you're going to get functional equivalents. In other words, they're written in such a way for you to understand them. I am not opposed to them. I think that they can be helpful. I don't think they should be exclusively relied on because the interpreters take some liberties sometime. So you need to be aware of that, but I do believe that they can be beneficial. Just I think you should, if you're in that land of NLT or NIV, they're not horrible, but try to be moving more to the right side with more of a formal equivalent. Now, even to the left of what we would consider to be a functional equivalent, well, then you get all kinds of wacky stuff out there. Then you got yourself the Message Bible. It is not even close. It's not even functional. It's like the thoughts of the guy who did the interpretation. It's just loaded with all kinds of suppositions and teachings. We've read some of the verses before. You wouldn't even recognize the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And seriously, the message is like, Have you ever been on a drive and you've seen a farm where the animals, and it's like, what is that? Those are the types of things, yeah. I don't even think they qualify, frankly, as deserving of the word Bible. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.